السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما My noble audience, last week we spoke about a prolific personality, Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And as I made mention that, inshallah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we will speak about two personalities in particular in this month of Muharram. One is Hazrat Umar, and the second is Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. I would like to conclude what we were discussing concerning Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And inshallah, if Allah wills, next week we will speak about the grandson of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the legacy that he left behind and what we can learn from his beautiful life. I made mention last week that in the initial stages of Islam, when the seed of Islam was placed in the ground of Makkah, the Nabi of Allah experienced a very high level of hostility. And the few people that accepted Islam at that time were exposed to persecution, to brutality, to pain and suffering. Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam could see that his followers were going through a lot of pain, a lot of persecution. So his deep wisdom guided him to make a profound dua in the noble court of Allah Almighty. He studied the landscape of Makkah. He studied the people that were persecuting. And as we know that there are only a few people in every community that have the muscle and they flex the muscle. So the Nabi of Allah knew that it was Abu Jahl or Hazrat Umar that can make a difference to the growing tree of Islam. And if any one of them can enter into the fold of Islam, it will give relief to the Muslims. And at the same time, it will elevate them. I made mention last week that then the Nabi of Allah made a dua, Allahumma a'izzal Islam bi Abi Jahl bin Hisham aw bi Umar ibn al-Khattab. That the Nabi of Allah made a profound dua. And it has been said, the historians, they have made mention that this dua came from a cracked heart. The word uses a cracked heart because the Nabi of Allah was in pain. So that's why they say when a person makes dua in front of Allah, if that heart has been captured by pain, then this dua has a much better chance of being accepted. So when we make dua, if it is superficial, it doesn't have emotion, we can't say it won't be accepted, but it has less chance. But if it has emotions and feelings, then that dua most probably will be accepted. So Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with a great mission. And those that were accepting, that were very dear to him, and Allah was suffering. So the Nabi of Allah was in pain, and with that heart he made a dua that was accepted by Allah Almighty. The following day, the story of Hazrat Umar coming into Islam unfolded. We made mention that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was consulted in Mecca. So Abu Jahl called a meeting and he said, look, we have persecuted so many that we have not found one person after so much persecution that has given up his faith. On the contrary, people slowly and gradually are entering the fold of Islam. And I fear that we may be part of that time when there will be no one giving a offering to Hubal. So now we have to come up with a different kind of plan to stop the progress of Islam. So they came up with this sinister idea that we should murder Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Na'udhu billah. So the one that volunteered to fulfill this sinister mission was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And each person in that room that were hostile to Islam agreed that if there's anyone that can murder Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is Umar. But the dua of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that came from his blessed heart was guiding Umar from that majlis to the Mubarak majlis of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was walking towards the Nabi of Allah. And when a person has an agenda, if it is not noble, it translates on the face, the body posture translates it as well. So he was walking with rage and with anger. En route, Na'im bin Abdullah, he placed his eyes on the Mubarak jism of Hazrat Umar and he thought in his mind that this person has a sinister idea, a dreadful idea. And it came to his mind that most probably he is going to murder the Nabi of Allah. So he stopped him and he said, where do you think you're going? He said that, look, this person claims to be a prophet, and because of him, families have been split into two. There's been commotion in Mecca, so on and so forth. So today is the final day. We will bring an end to the chapter of Islam. So Allah used Na'im bin Abdullah, and he said to Hazrat Umar that before you address the issue of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why don't you address the issue at home? He said, what are you talking about? He said, your sister and the husband have accepted Islam. Anyone from the tribe of Umar that used to accept, it was the duty of Umar to beat that person. Lubayna was a female that was from the clan of Umar that accepted Islam. And Hazrat Umar, he was a giant of a person, very strong. He used to beat Lubayna. And when he was tired beating her, he said, I will rest and then I will return. I will revisit you. But it is amazing. There is something. We can't explain it. We haven't read it in books. But there has to be something that when a person in the presence of the Nabi of Allah accepts Islam, in return the Nabi of Allah gives something that gives them that strength. Because there was no salah. There was no zakat. There was no ibadat. But they had the iman that carried them through that horrible testing time. This is something unheard of. It is unheard of that a person, he has just entered the fold of Islam, By entering the fold of Islam, a person cleanses his inside, meaning that he becomes pure. But where do they get that strength from? That they can stand in front of the most brutal, the greatest dictator. Think about the story of Moses, peace be upon him. The sorcerers are in the state of kufr. They have come to defeat Moses in the theater with their sorcery. And when Musa alayhi salatu was salam displayed his miracle, they were riveted. They were blown away, spellbounded. They understood that this is not magic. The divine channel has been activated. This is a person, but what he has displayed is the Qudrat of Allah. They understood this. So immediately they accepted Islam. Now they have accepted Islam, haven't done anything else. We accept. How many people come to us and they say we accept? But it is hard for them to even lift the blanket in the morning to establish Fajr. We have been Muslims for so many years. We may have great muscles, but we don't have that muscle to push the blanket off in the morning. But we have Iman. And the dearest thing to a human being is his life. So these sorcerers immediately, they were threatened by Pharaoh. Allah has made mention of this in Surah Taha, Surah 20. لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. That surely I will cut off your hands and your feet on different sides, on opposite sides. وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. And I will crucify you on the trunks of date palms. And they knew that he was not kidding. He was serious. Because his brutality was on display many a times in the past. They knew about this. They knew that he was not bluffing. But what did they say? They said, قَالُوا لَن نُؤْثِرَكَ عَلَى مَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالَّذِي فَطَرَنَا مَا أَقْضِي. That we cannot give you any preference over the Creator and the signs that have been shown to us. They have just accepted Islam. You decree to bring an end to our life, you do what you have to do. That we are not going to budge and shift from this path. Where did they get that iman from? We don't have that iman by praying salah 5 times a day over 50 years. There has to be something. It is subtle, but there has to be something when the Prophet of Allah, may it be Moses, may it be Jesus, may it be Muhammad, may it be any other prophet, that when a person accepts in front of them, there has to be a certain nur that emits from the beautiful heart of the Prophet of Allah as a reward to that person that increases his faith, and due to that nur that makes it into the heart of the newcomer into the religion, he has the ability to stand the trials and the tribulations. So, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he was stopped by Naim bin Abdullah. Naim bin Abdullah said, go to your house. So he goes to his house, cutting the story short, and he finds that they were reciting from the Quran. They could differentiate between normal speech and the Quran. So he went inside and he started to beat his brother-in-law. Then he started to beat his sister. When she started to bleed, she said the same thing. that the sorcerers said to Pharaoh in that theater of horror, do whatever you have to do. I'm not going to give up the faith that I have accepted. Now every brother knows his sister, that in the past I used to scold her and she used to give up. She used to collapse. She used to be afraid. But suddenly my sister has been beaten by me profusely. I have threatened her further to what I have beaten her. But she's not giving up. On the contrary, she stands up now and she says, you do what you have to do. Hazrat Umar was a very wise person. He was a very wise person. Intellectually, he was switched on. So he thought about it. He thought about it. He had the ability to control his emotions at the time of rage, even prior to accepting Islam. The scholars have said that the religion makes a person the best person. But you have to be a person. Religion makes the person the best person. And the religion has the ability to make a person that has dropped below the levels of a person to be a person. And then even higher than that, the best person. Islam has the ability to pull a person from the depths of ignorance, from the hole of darkness. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was a human being. He had not dropped below that level. So when Islam came, it propelled him to the heights that we are all well aware of. Intellectually, he was switched on. He studied the scenario objectively. He said, how can my sister stand in front of me and challenge me with the authority that I have and she knows? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, dear sister, can you bring what you are reading? So there are different narrations in Al-Faruq. This is the compilation of the beautiful legacy, the life of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. It has been said that the sister said, first you take a shower, you purify yourself. So that's why they say, without external purity, it is hard to attain internal purity. That's why before communicating with Allah, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون, before communicating with Allah, we attain external purity. Wudu, ablution. Before communicating with Allah in salah, we attain external purity. This allows us, enables us to attain internal purity as well. Jao wudu karo. Take a bath. Wash yourself. So he washes himself. And there's a deep wisdom behind this. Allahu Akbar. I was reading one of the writings of my sheikh. And he said there's a deep wisdom behind this. Think about it. If a non-Muslim comes and he says, I want to read. We can say, alright, sit down. Place the Quran in front of him and say, don't touch it, read it. That is fine. Place the Quran in front of him. You can hold it and say, read it. He doesn't have to touch it. Why did the sister say, go and take a bath? Because when a person is in the state of rage, the truth does not register. And taking a bath and making wudu will eliminate the atoms of rage. Indeed, he had control, but there was rage. There was anger. So take a bath. Make wudu. So by that time he had completely settled down. Now his mind is set. It is at that station where the words of Allah will sink. This is one of the deep wisdoms behind this. So he sat in front of his sister and the sister pulled out the pages. According to one riwayat, it was Surah 57, Surah Al-Hadid. This is the surah that follows Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the surah that we should recite after Maghrib before going to sleep, known as Suratul Ghina, the surah that will enrich you, the surah Al-Hadid Ayan. And what words! The Nabi of Allah started reading from verse number 1 to verse number 7, and on verse number 7 all the veils had been removed and Islam had penetrated to the core of the heart of Hazrat Umar. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth glorifies Allah. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ. Whatever is in the heaven, whatever is in the earth, glorifies Allah. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Everything in this world glorifies Allah, but we cannot understand their glorification. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He is almighty, all wise. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To him belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. He gives life, he causes death. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. He is able to do everything. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ والآخر والظاهر والباطن. So strong. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. He is the first, nothing before him. والآخر, he is the last, nothing after him. الظاهر, he is the most high, nothing above him. والباطن, he is the most near, nothing nearer than him. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. He's closer to each one of us than our jugular vein. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And he has the knowledge of everything. So the Nabi of Allah recited. He came to verse number 7. You know, when a person, it's like you speak to a person and you present your argument one after another. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرِ. يُولِجُ اللَّيْلِ فِي النَّهَارِ. You're presenting your argument. You're trying to allow the person to see the veracity of your message, the truth of your message. So you're speaking to a person and he has had enough. He has understood. He said, "Bas, that's it, no more. I can't take any more. I understood. Now I want to accept." Keeping that in mind, number 7, verse number 7. The Nabi of the sister recited, "Aminu billahi wa rasulih." Believe in Allah and the Rasul. And then at that time, Hazrat Umar said, "Bas, no more." He said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." He accepted Islam straight away. From there, now he becomes restless, because once you become a Muslim, you want to place your eyes on the beautiful wajh of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had placed their eyes on the Nabi of Allah, but out of animosity, out of hatred, without iman. What will be the ecstasy and the enjoyment of placing your eyes on the face of the Nabi of Allah, the paragon of humanity, with iman? Straight away, take me to the house of Arqam, where the Nabi of Allah was given nasiha to the sahaba. So it has been said that Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was inside. No one knew about the acceptance of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was a secret at that time, and he knocked on the door. The people realized that it is Hazrat Umar. Amir Hamza said, "Fikr karne ki baat nahi hai, do not worry. If he has come with noble intentions, most welcome, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. And if he has come with ill intent, I will bring an end to his life with his sword. I will bring an end to his life with his sword. Uska sar main kalam karunga usi ki talwar se." So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala enters, and Nabi Akrim Muhammad with his, you know, with his beautiful voice, he speaks to Hazrat Umar. He says, "Qayyo, why have you come?" He was overawed by the sound of the Nabi of Allah, by the voice of the Nabi of Allah. Then he said, "I've come to accept Islam." And at that time, the takbir was made. Nare takbir. And then everyone chanted, "Allahu Akbar." And that is an expression a method of rejoicing for the Muslims when a person comes from the valleys of darkness, min al-dhulumat ila al-nur, to the valleys of light. That's what we do even now. So when person accepts Islam, we say, Nare takbir, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the one, not us, not our effort. It was Allah that brought him into the fold of Islam. From that day onwards, Islam has not looked back. From that day onwards, Islam has not looked back. Straight away, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he came out and he established communication with Allah in the mataf, in the haram. One person brought a change. We learn from this that first of all, never ever believe that a person cannot change. Anyone can change at any time. It is a matter of us presenting a package that is surrounded by sorrow. You know, many a times we do a lot of da'wah, but no change. We give da'wah, no change. We give speeches, no change. Because this da'wah, this speech is superficial. May it be my speech, speech of many orators. Dard ni udar. That feeling is not there. When the feeling is there, then the broken heart, it controls the emotions that adorn the words. And those words that are adorned with those emotions that come from the bottom of the heart. Because if we study this objectively, when something cracks open, the words will come from right at the depth of the heart. If the heart is not cracked open, it is superficial. It is on the surface. It opens up, then you will see the gems that are hiding in the depth of the heart. And the emotions adorn the words. And these words, my word, are powerful. They can change. They can revolutionize the world. And this is what happened. Nabi Akrim said, QIO, why did you come? Overawed Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Umar came out the next day that in return to accepting Islam, the Nabi of Allah gave him that spiritual gift. And it changed his world. And it changed the landscape of this dunya. People will remember him. His name will echo throughout the world until the day of judgment. This is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But I would like to maybe shed a few gems. I would like to give you a few gems in regarding to Umar. We have heard about him accepting Islam. It inspires us. It gives us goosebumps. But we have to extract and deduce lessons from the life. In a short while, myself and many orators, khutaba, imma throughout the world, will stand up on the mimbar and they will recite an Arabic khutbah. And they will conclude by reciting the verses of Surah Nahl, Surah 16, verse 90. Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. You will hear me say this. Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi. This beautiful practice was introduced by Umar bin Abdul Aziz to the Muslim world. He became a Khalif at 99 Hijri. He passed away in 101 Hijri. He was a Khalif for about 2 years. His tenure was 2 years. And he came to know the strength of this ayah and the message that it contains, that it is the principle of success for humanity. Allah has contained success in this ayah. There are three things that we should do, and there are three things that we should abstain from. What does Allah say? Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl. Verily Allah has enjoined al adl, justice. Justice is synonymous to Hazrat Umar. When you think about Hazrat Umar, one of the first qualities that come to mind is justice. His justice that was on display for humanity was one of the main qualities that made him popular throughout the world, made him popular in the court of the Nabi of Allah, and made him popular in the court of Allah Almighty. Because when a person is in control, to sustain and to display justice is a very hard quality. That's why when Allah speaks about the seven groups that will stand under the shade of Allah's throne on the Day of Judgment, the first person that has been made mention is Imam Adil, a just ruler. Because a ruler, justice does not bond with a ruler. A ruler has to make so much sacrifice to adorn himself with adl. That's why we see nowadays throughout the world, when a person is a ruler, this imam, rule, dominion, control, muscle, does not allow a person to attain adl. If a person attains adl at that station, it means that he has suppressed his base self. He has controlled his base self. He has attained high rank with Allah. That's why the Nabi of Allah says, the first person to stand under the shade is Imam Adil. Imamo ke liye adil bahut mushkil. A youngster may pray in the masjid. He may weep at night. But an Imam Adil, very few. You can count them on the finger. Study human history from the inception till the end. You will find only a few that are Imam Adil. Other than prophets, if we want to know a ruler that is Adil, the person that makes it to the top of the list is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And it has been said about Hazrat Umar, كان وقافا عند حدود الله. كان وقفاقا عند حدود الله. He knew where to stop. If he knew that these were the lines, the parameters set by Islam, he stopped there. His personal wishes and desires, his wants, did not allow him to exceed the boundaries set by Allah. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ Ya Allah ki hadeh hain. These are the hudood of Allah. He had that power, that strength. I would like to make mention of one ayah in the glorious Quran, then we'll have to conclude. In regards to adl, it is a topic in itself. There are two surahs that are very lengthy. I am alluding to Surat An-Nisa, Surat number 4, and Surat Al-Ma'idah, Surat number 5. There are so many different ahkamat, injunctions, that have made place in Surat An-Nisa and Surat Ma'idah. If we study Surat An-Nisa and open Surat An-Nisa, and we start reading, we will stop at 135. We'll stop at 135. And what does Allah say in regards to adl? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamina bilqist. O believers, stand out firmly for justice. Stand out firmly for justice. Shuhada'a lillah, as witnesses to Allah. Now Allah Almighty opens up the topic of adl. And my word, what quality a person needs to fulfill the message of adl that has been captured in verse 135. Awil walidain, awil aqrabin, aw ala anfusikum. First of all, Allah says, though you may be a witness against yourself, speak the truth. Even against yourself. You know you've done wrong. You have been summoned. Speak the truth. My words, that is hard. You know that by constructing something, you may escape pain, jail term, disgrace. But Allah says, first of all, witness. Allah is a witness. Stand out firmly for justice against yourself, against your parents. Many a times, what does a person say? Take my life, don't take the life of my children and my parents. Take my life, don't take the life of my parents and my children. Awil walidain, be a witness against your parents. Awil aqrabin, against your kin. إِنْ يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا. It is he that he may be rich or poor. It doesn't matter if the walidain, the aqrabeen are rich or poor. فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Allah is a better protector for both of them than you. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَى. The impediment, the obstacle that does not allow us to establish justice. فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَى أَن تَعْدِلُوا. Do not follow your base self, your desires, lest you might avoid justice. Because this hawa, this desire, we made mention of this on Monday in our tafsir, in detail. Where do these hawas emerge? What is the center of al-hawa? But it is the heart. That if we follow our desires, it will take us away from establishing justice. And then Allah Almighty says in the next surah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, a stronger message in regards to adl. And that is Surah number 5, verse number 8. So you start reading and you stop at verse number 8. And Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ. O believers, O believers, stand out firmly for Allah. Previous surah, ayat, stand out firmly for justice. As Allah is the witness. The theme of the ayat, the construction of the ayat has changed. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ. O believers, stand out firmly for Allah. شُهَدَا بِالْقِسْ. Be a good witness. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. And do not allow the enmity and the hatred of others make you avoid justice. Now Allah uses the imperative verb, the amr, imperative verb, اِعْدِلُوا. Be just. Be just. وَأَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. That is closer to at-taqwa, to piety. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Verily Allah is well acquainted with what you do. So justice in our life, justice with our wife, justice with our children, justice with our community members, justice with ourselves, justice with our Creator. Justice, the quality, has to be applied across the board. May it be between the makhluk and the khaliq. May it be between the makhluk and the makhluk. May it be between the insan and the insan. May it be between the insan and the hayawan. May it be the insan or the nabatat. May it be the insan or the shajarat. We have to display adl. We have to fulfill. And the true definition of adl is to fulfill the right of the opposite. Nowadays, what echoes in the entire world, this is my right, and he did not deliver my right. Islam wants our mindset to change. Islam does not want our intellect to operate in that style, where we are expecting the person to fulfill our right. Islam says, have you fulfilled the right of the other? That is adl. Have you fulfilled the right of the other? You fulfill the right of the other, you have established adl. If he does not fulfill the right, you forgive. At both ends, the giving end or the receiving end, you are attaining reward. This is adl. Allah give us the ability to adorn the entire Muslim world with adl. If adl makes it into the ranks of the Muslims, the world will see a different group of Muslims. And this group of Muslims will make a change in the world. Allah give us tawfiq. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.